Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer. This is Robert Moss. This is the show where we affirm the power of dreaming, coincidence, and imagination. We have a wonderful guest today. Her name is Heather Ash Amara. Her new book is The Warrior Heart Practice. We'll see what all of that is about. I just want to say to you before we get started that what we do here, what we explore here as practice and as inspiration for life, is more important than ever, isn't it, in these crazy times of pandemic, of shelter-in-place, of shutdown. One of the benefits is that many of us are making more time for inner work. People who never talked about dreams are dreaming out the storm. People are looking for practices of heart and imagination that will give them courage and strength to get through. And I think we're going to find some extra tools and resources in this particular conversation. So I wish you all well and safe and dreaming deep. All right, let me say a word or two about Heather Ash. Her new book, as I say, is The Warrior Heart Practice. She uses words like Toltec lineage and stalking and other words that we'll ask her to explain. Some of you who are familiar with the work of Castaneda and of Don Miguel Ruiz, who was Heather Ash's mentor for many years, will know these terms, but I think we're probably going to want to explain them and get it all simple and clear. Welcome, Heather Ash.
Thanks so much, Robert. So great to be here with you.
We had a mishap last time, my doing not yours. We're going to talk in January, but I couldn't get back from Aruba. I got stuck through misconnections, languishing in an airport hotel. I suppose one of the few benefits of our situation is that this kind of thing doesn't happen right now. So we can travel in other ways, but not very commonly that way. All right. One of the charming things about your book is that you are very self-revealing. You give your own stories about learning these practices and applying and misapplying them. Let's just jump right into the deep of the practices you're offering by having me say to you, Heather Ash, I will never think of the phrase, go to your room, quite the way that I did before I read your book, because let me just say, to open it up a little bit, Heather Ash is something of an imaginal architect. She encourages us to build spaces like rooms in a house in the imagination where we can accomplish certain things. I love this because I love imaginal space. I love building. I love imaginal architecture. So tell us how your book is organized, as if I hope I'm not misrepresenting it, around four chambers of life, four chambers of the soul, four chambers of the psyche, and what we could expect if we were to go into those rooms, and tell us what this kind of journey through the chambers of the psyche, the chambers of the heart means.
I love working with the chambers in this way because for most of us, we don't have a structure internally. If there's a lot of chaos and confusion and things tied together that shouldn't be tied together. And so the chambers is a way to start to create a new sense of spaciousness inside of ourselves by separating out these four different aspects of self, our emotions, our story, our mind, our thoughts, what's true, and what our intent is. And so the chambers are this incredible gift for us to create a way to get clarity in our lives, to open up to our creativity, to get through difficult situations. So I found it incredibly helpful for people during the pandemic as well.
Heather Ash, I want you to take us on the tour. You're telling us, and that's fine,
absolutely.
But I would actually like you to practice right now guiding me or anybody who's listening through the four chambers. Could you do that? Just take us on a
loop
through these rooms?
Yeah, and since we're in pandemic times, this is a great space. So what you want to do is pick a challenge, something that you feel confused by or unclear around or something that you're struggling with. And then we start in the first chamber, which is the emotions. And so you start by going into the body, so best thing to do is just to close the eyes and to really let yourself open to what am I feeling, what's going on in my being. So whatever the question is or whatever the struggle is, instead of moving away from the emotions, turn towards, imagine that you're walking into this emotion chamber. And let's start with, if you had a safe place to feel your emotions, what would that safe place feel like? What would it look like? So use your imagination to build a space for yourself that allows you to feel safe feeling your emotions. It might be outside in nature. It might be a room that's filled with pillows and stuffed animals. It might be someplace that has shag carpeting and skylights. So let's start there. Use your imagination to dream into the space that will allow you to experience your emotions in a place that you feel safe and held. And as you envision that space around you, let yourself really feel it. Feel that you're being held. And then open to, what am I feeling around a certain challenge that you're working with, around the pandemic? What are you actually feeling in your body? So instead of just intellectualizing the feelings, experience. Is it in your chest? Do you feel pressure in your belly? So you might notice anxiety, you might notice fear, you might notice a sense of tenderness. When you discover an emotion, just breathe into it and be with it. Without trying to change it, without trying to understand it, let yourself be held in this sacred space and connect with your emotional body. Exactly as it is. And as we open to our emotional body, as we turn towards it, we don't have to make sense of it. We want to keep it separate from the story chamber, from our thoughts. If you notice a story arising or thoughts, just say, wait a minute, I'll be with you in a moment. And keep coming back to, how does my body feel? Where is the emotion in my body? How am I experiencing it? Good. And then step into the second chamber. So you can imagine now that you're stepping out of the feeling chamber and visualize a space that's your story chamber, which is your thoughts, what your mind is telling you about what's happening. So how do the stories express themselves in your mind, and what's the vision? So for me, my story chamber is filled with a lot of different books and a lot of different, it's kind of messy and there's a lot of information there. It's often inhabited by my judge and my victim that are pulling things out off the shelves and judging or cowering in the corner feeling victimized. So the places where your mind gets tangled, where you have disaster mind, where you're going into the past or going into the future, what does that space look like? Using your imagination to create your story chamber. And noticing that the story chamber and the emotion chamber often get tied together, like ropes that have gotten all tangled together. So what we're doing is separating out the pure feeling by having that in the emotion chamber. And now as we really rest into the story chamber, we're opening to the question, what am I telling myself? What's my story? And so often our stories are about worst case scenario or disaster when we're not paying attention. So asking yourself, what's the story I'm telling myself around the question that you're bringing to the chambers, to the warrior heart practice? You might notice you have a story around, is this ever going to end? What if there's no cure for the virus? If there's a challenge you're having in a relationship, what, or with your health, or with finances, what's the story that you're telling yourself? And be willing to look at the layers. I like to imagine that the story chamber has layers of history, and you're an archaeologist, and you're unlayering and letting yourself go deeper and deeper into the layers of the story. So often the first layer is about what's happening in the present moment, but if you stay steady, you can go deeper and see, are there other core old stories that are also being resonated? So what's the story that you're telling yourself? Looking for your own judgment or victimization, where you're going into the past or where you're worrying about the future. And as you let yourself go towards witnessing the stories that your mind is crafting and creating, you can start to sort which ones are beneficial, which ones are from the past that are weighing you down. And next we step into the truth chamber. So imagine now that you thank the story chamber, that you thank the emotion chamber for giving you this insight or this information. And now imagine that you can step into the third chamber, which is the truth chamber. What does your truth chamber look like? How do you vision it? So maybe a space outside where you have incredible views. It might be a very simple, bright room. So take a moment to imagine your truth chamber, this space. Where you can open to what is really true. So let it be a space that's supportive of you getting clarity, that allows you to settle in and ask yourself the question, what is true? So you're going to be really conscious to step completely out of the story chamber and into truth. Many of us write a better story and call it the truth. So I'm going to invite you, as you rest into the truth chamber, as you open your heart to what's true, to look for very simple truths. The truth is always one sentence, very simple. You'll feel a resonance in your body. What's always true? I am breathing. So in this moment, I am breathing. Just take a breath. Notice that truth in your body. Feel the support of the truth chamber. And ask yourself, what else is true? What else is true here? Looking for simple truths. And letting your body, the wisdom of your being, bring these truths up. So you're not trying to intellectualize and figure out the truth. Drop into your body, open. What is true? let the wisdom of your being, supported by this beautiful imaginal space, help you to open to the truth in this moment. Other examples of the truth in relationship to the pandemic. There have always been viruses, period. This is a very powerful virus, period. And if you clear the story away and spend more time in the truth chamber, your creativity and your intuition will also come back online in more powerful ways through dreams, through knowings, through premonitions, through signs of how to navigate from truth. And now stepping into the fourth chamber, which is intent, your focus. What do you want? So this chamber, like the truth chamber, it's very spacious, and your intent is one word. What's the quality you want to embody in relationship to the situation or challenge that you're navigating right now? One word. It might be compassion, presence, peace, freedom. It can be any word. One word. And imagine that your intent chamber is there to support you in feeling your intent. So bring that intent into your body as a feeling sense. What does your intent feel like? And that's going to be your North Star. So claim your commitment to that intent as you go back through the chambers, because now we're going to unravel them either further, create more clarity. So take your intent. Imagine your intent is a guide, maybe an animal guide, a human guide, an angelic guide, an elemental. See your intent, vision your intent as a guide that's here to support you as you walk back into the truth chamber. And imagine now holding hands with the truth. So you now have this guide of your intent. Stepping back into the truth chamber, we go back through the chambers now, naming truth. Imagining truth as a guide as well. What is truth hold for you? How does it show up? What's the image of your guide of truth? You can imagine these two guides standing on either side of you, and just take a moment to really feel that support and guidance of your intent and truth. And now we're going to turn and face the story chamber again. Stepping into the story chamber, into that space, with your intent and truth. You're going to step in looking at the story through their eyes. How else can you redream your story? How can you perceive it in a different way? what else is here for you as you untangle the story from the past and redream it so it is supportive of you in the present. How do you make yourself the heroine or the hero of this story? How is this story strengthening and inviting you to become more of who you are? Let those guides also speak intent and truth. Beautiful. And now stepping back in the feeling chamber and just let yourself soften into what are you feeling now?
All right, Heather Ash, that was beautifully and brilliantly done. We have to pause, but your timing was impeccable. We didn't discuss this. I didn't know you would take us so deeply and profoundly through this. I found it very valuable myself. And my goodness, you demonstrated what you mean when you talk about being a heart warrior. I gave you the invitation and you plunged right in. And as I say, the timing was astonishingly impeccable. We do have to pause to take a break. Let us speak to the wonderful Heather Ash Amaro. We'll get more information about her and her website and all of that. You're listening to The Way of the Dream with Robert Noss. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
So you're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest is Heather Ash Amaro. You want to know what Heart Warrior is? She just demonstrated. I suggested she might take us on an imaginal tour. of the four chambers that she uses to release people from the confining, binding little stories. And she did it just like that. We hadn't discussed timing, but the timing was impeccable. So thank you, Heather Ash. And before I forget, if people want to find you, what is your website?
The website's heatherashamara.com.
Okay, that's easy enough. And we'll be getting this up, of course, on the show archive. And on my website archive, well, we'll have a fuller description. You'll get that fairly soon. So there we are. I found it very helpful myself, Heather Ash. I found myself, as you talked about it, when you asked emotion, I thought, actually, it is a somatic thing. I feel slightly pregnant. I don't mean by that I have indigestion or ate too much. I mean, I literally feel slightly pregnant with the mixed extremes of somatic and emotional stuff that might go with that if you were literally pregnant. And I recognize that I feel this way when I'm on the way to delivering a new book or a new project of that kind. And I started from there, and then I found myself actually sitting amongst the roots of the white oak tree behind the farmhouse, which I purchased a farm in upstate New York a long time ago, where I dream richly and deeply of indigenous and ancient people from that part of the world. So I'm with that tree. And then I go to a story space, which is like the little room in the farmhouse where I did my work and worried about money and publishing relationships. And then I went to a place of truth, which wasn't just a place of fact. It wasn't just a business of looking at the facts. It was a place of being in contact with higher guides, higher intelligences who could see things from a different perspective. And by the end of my word at the end of it was create. And at the end of the tour, we cycled back. I felt very strong and very confident in relation to my new creative project. So I can tell you that your imaginal tour works for me. I'm sure it works for other people. Let's slow down a bit and talk about some of the words and concepts that you use, which will be familiar, as I said earlier, to people who know Castaneda and people who know the Four Agreements and so on. But you identify yourself as belonging to a Toltec lineage of knowing and practice. What does the word Toltec mean in this connection?
The word Toltec means artist of the spirit, and the Toltecs were a group of people in South and Central Mexico who came together to study perception and dreaming, and this idea that we're dreaming all the time, and how to really learn to use our life as our art.
Okay, artists of the spirit is good. Understanding we can dream a world is good, and that's my opinion also. What is a heart warrior? I mean, you demonstrated, but explain to us, what is a heart warrior?
For me, those two qualities are really important in our world, especially today. So being heart-centered, being able to open, to be creative in response to challenges, that we're navigating from our deepest wisdom rather than our mind. And so many of us have what I call disaster mind, where we're worrying about the future, beating ourselves up about the past. And so dropping out of the mind into the heart as a place of wisdom and connection. And that connection, as you mentioned, to higher guide and support. And then the warrior energy is about focus, clarity, commitment, of saying, yes, I'm in. And we're actually really out of balance with the warrior, most of us. We either have too much warrior, an excess of warrior, and we're in a culture that has an excess of warrior right now, which is about pushing forth, trying to make things happen, control. But you can also have a lack of warrior or deficiency of warrior, and that's when you're procrastinate, when you're hesitant, when you don't know how to take control in a clear responsibility way. I should say take responsibility for self. And so being a warrior is about taking absolute responsibility for your actions and learning how to clean up the emotions and stories that are heavy, that weigh you down, so that you can be light and present and really learn how to come from a place of unconditional love in relationship to all of life, challenges and the beauty.
Okay, then we won't move on to a word which, you know, people who read Castaneda are familiar with, but sounds a bit ominous or sinister to people who don't. The word is stalking, and I'm going to ask you to explain what stalking is, but just before you do that, let me say that I think we're in agreement that moving towards a witness self, moving towards being able to adopt the perspective of a witness self who can look at our actions from a slightly higher level with more detachment and maybe with a sense of humor as well, is a very good thing to do in life if we're to rise above those limited stories and those spin cycles of feelings, as you call them, going round and round and round forever, to step out of all that, see ourselves from a different angle involves ascending in consciousness to the level of witness self. And that, I think, is part of what you mean by stalking. But as I say, people who aren't familiar with your use of the term might be worried to begin with. So tell us why you're advising us to stalk ourselves.
Stalking is the act of learning to track yourself, your emotions, your thoughts, what's happening in the physical body, what's happening with your energy. And the Toltecs, like all earth-based teachings or spiritualities, were very connected to the earth. And so they looked to the animals about how to be in right relationship with themselves and with nature. And so one of the best ways to describe stalking is you think about a large cat, so a jaguar or a puma, and they stalk their prey over days. So they know where their prey sleeps, where it feeds, what its habits are. And they don't attack right away. They wait. They're very patient. They're very calm. They're open. And they don't make assumptions. They're like, this is what it's going to do. They track. They gather all the information. And then they go. And this is what we want to learn to do with ourselves. There's three different types of stalking. So I can share all three of them. But in terms of jaguar stalking, what we're learning to do is be in the world, to take action. But as we're taking action, to watch. And what we're stalking is our mind. What we're stalking is our emotional body, to see what our patterns and habits are, and that we gather the data and the information so that when we go to make a change, it happens efficiently.
Okay. Well, since you mentioned the jaguar, I'm going to tell you a jaguar story from my life, Heather Rush. I don't regard the jaguar as one of the big cats I'm close to. I am close to the big cats, but I don't think of the jaguar as one of the sort of inner circle. However, many years ago, when I was living in the house that I returned to during your guided meditation earlier, I had the impression in the middle of the night, drifting in a hypnagogic state between sleep and awake, that there was something in the room. And it took form. First of all, it looked like an electrical grid. Then I realized I was looking at a jaguar, not in physical form, but in some kind of form that was tangible. And the invitation was to travel with the jaguar, and I accepted it. I guess I really liked some travel that night. I traveled with it, and we traveled together to Belize. I knew it was Belize. And we met a Mayan shaman whose animal was the jaguar, and for what seemed like several hours, actually was several hours, because I'm awake and asleep at the same time. I'm in that in-between state, dormir alien, sleep-wake in-between state. So it's a lucid dream. I'm not controlling anything, but I'm conscious. Mm-hmm. He taught me, he gave me verses, which I brought back. He showed me rituals of healing and divination. He showed me how he used a sastoon, a sea stone, and I didn't know a lot about all of this. And in the morning, I'm thinking, well, I have a vivid imagination. I'm a novelist and poet as well as other things. And I go to see a friend of mine who lives in the area who runs an antique store. Says, Robert, I was thinking of you. I have something for you. Held up a copy of a magazine which has a cover article about Belize and a picture of the jaguar on the cover. Then he presents me with a tiny little terracotta mask of a man shape-shifting into a jaguar or a jaguar shape-shifting into a man. So here we go into the realm. Here we go into the realm of what the Iroquois called the Oyara, the power animal that actually has a subtle body and can live in part of your body. It can come and go. So, Heather, I simply by mentioning the big cats put me into full feline mode. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest is Heather Ashimara. We'll be back for more adventures in consciousness after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Gingivitis, gum disease, words you don't want in your mouth. But according to the American Dental Association, 3 out of every 4 adults will develop gum disease. Now there's an all-natural way to fight back. Introducing the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies. Developed by a dentist and clinically tested by a leading university, the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies Daily Oral Rinse and Toothpaste was proven to kill the germs that cause gum disease better than the leading brands. Regular use was proven to reduce gingivitis and bleeding gums. The Natural Dentist contains herbs like echinacea and aloe vera and has no alcohol or sugar or harsh chemicals. The Natural Dentist is guaranteed to work or your money back. You can find the Natural Dentist at most drug and health stores, including Trader Joe's, Save-On, Walgreens, and Long's Drug Stores, as well as most health stores, including Whole Foods Markets and Wild Oats. Call 800-615-6895 or visit www.thenaturaldentist.com for more info.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
You're welcome to be with us on Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest today is Heather Ashamar. I do hope you enjoyed her tour of the Four Chambers. I found it useful and empowering. We started to talk a little bit about relations with the animal spirits. I think Heather and Ash, although we've never talked directly about this, are in agreement that, you know, if you're going to work with the animal spirits, it's not a matter of looking up what it means in some book or the medicine cards or putting a decal on your car or putting a stuffed toy on your table. If it's a real connection with the power animals, it's going to live in your body, it's going to live in your energy centers. It can raise your energy, it can provide layers of psychic protection, and also can orient you to find the natural path of your energies in life. It can orient you in terms of diet, how you use your body, and all the rest of it. If you're connected to the big cats, for example, you might have a different relationship with a diurnal regimen in terms of how much you like to be out, up and about at night, and the things you choose to eat and the way you choose to play or hunt or stalk and your social relations. So the big cats are not the same. They have different mating habits, different social setup. Anyway, I find this area endlessly fascinating. And I must say, Heather Ash, if I'm going to send people into a place to confront what they fear or what confuses them, for example, if I'm going to send someone back into the space of a nightmare, you know, a nightmare in my lexicon is not just a scary dream. It's a dream you ran away from, or a situation like that in life that you ran away from. You left it unfinished. You left it aborted. You left it broken. If I'm going to tell you, as I might well do, you need to go back to the place of your fear and face the fear and stay with it until resolution or healing becomes available, I might have mercy in the sense that I might suggest to you that you can pick up, you can recruit an animal ally to go with you, though actually the ally might be inside the space of the scary dream or nightmare. But I'm going to send you into a place of fear, for example. I'd probably like to see you accompanied by something that will give you the strength, the stability, the stamina to see it through. What are your thoughts about our relations with the power animal?
Yeah, I think that's a really beautiful thing to do, and that any way that we can support people, especially around the emotional body, or around nightmares, which the reason it's a nightmare, it's a challenging situation, is usually because it evokes emotions in people. They have a response to it. And so any type of support, so I think animal guides are excellent for that, or angelic beings or elementals. I tend to do a lot of work with elementals.
Right. I think it's a very important subject, because I think we're in a time where people are looking for places of sanctuary. Inner places of sanctuary, and of course, physical places of sanctuary. They're looking for connection. They're looking for community. They're looking for hugs, which are physically difficult to exchange, and they're looking for spiritual allies and guidance. I mean, ones that speak to them, ones with whom they can trust their connection. They're really, really, really searching for this. The power animals are endlessly giving in this respect. I'm all for the angels. I'm all for the elementals. I'm all for asking for and receiving as much help as we can possibly get. I think that this is something that people like you and me in our parallel modes of teaching need to be willing to offer more than ever, because people are really desperate for the sense of guidance, support, strength, nurturing, mentoring, you know, from inner resources, inner and transpersonal resources.
Absolutely.
You know, let's say the shamanic approach can offer.
Mm-hmm. And I think the ancestors, too, which I know that that's also an important place in your world, too, and especially
well,
if you're helping people connect
with the ancestors. I've talked to the dead all my life, as you probably know, having been pronounced dead and come back in childhood. So the relationship with the departed and with the ancestors in a broader sense is part of my lived experience since early childhood. I will say that there is an opportunity and a problem. The opportunity is the ancestors are calling. I mean, the ancestors of our bloodlines, the ancestors of the land where we live or travel, and our ancestors of different lineages, whom we might seem to have no obvious connection, but are part of our multidimensional story. The challenge is that often, unaware of what's happening, people are enmeshed with, entangled with, the dense energy, some part of the body of pain, or emotional body, of the ancestors on the wrong level. In other words, some part of the departed has stayed around. Maybe its consciousness is gone, but some part of its energy and its appetite has remained. And this, of course, results in the addiction and the patterns of abuses and the patterns of confusion and the other things that we recognize. So to have a healthy relationship with the ancestors might involve learning to recognize and separate out the heavy, dense energy of the dead that does not belong with the living. So that's the challenge.
Exactly. And that's part of why I love the practice so much, is that it helps us to sort out what's the heavy story or this heavy energy that doesn't serve me. And, you know, as you know, Robert, we all have so much wisdom inside. And when we tap in with allies, that gets even strengthened so much more to go in and to be able to see what's actually serving me, what's not serving me in terms of storylines, this lifetime, past lifetimes, ancestral, and especially in these times, too, around the emotional. I'm talking to so many people that are really struggling emotionally because they're enmeshed with the collective, and they are learning how to sort their own fear or their own emotional content versus what's happening in the collective right now.
That's right. We're in the midst of a collective catastrophe, which is also a collective tragedy, with, you know, lots of people being thrust off beyond death without any preparation, without rituals of farewell. So that aspect of things in relation to our communion with the dead is very, very concerning. We're in a climate of tremendous fear and nervousness, of unemployment and economic emergency and the fear of life, the fear of sickness. I mean, so we do have a whole collective miasma. We hope that we'll rise out of this, shaking ourselves off, out of all the mud and fear and slime, stronger and brighter than ever. But it's not straightforward, and that is why all of us need to find and use our simple beacons of light, our simple hearth fires of courage and inspiration as best we can. That's why any kind of inner work of the kind that you offer and I offer in parallel ways has become more important than ever. It's the spiritual equivalent of chop wood, carry water. It's simple practices that people can do every day that will get them through. And one of the things we agree on, because you come at it again and again in your book, the Warrior Heart Practice, is the need to get people to keep a journal, write things down. It might just be a few minutes every day. It's a dialogue with yourself, your soul. It might be a way for your larger self to get more of your attention. It will also become a way for you to formulate those one-liners and action phrases which help to bring things into manifestation. So this is a simple practice we can encourage everything to do. Write something down. What is it? Maybe it doesn't matter very much, but take up the habit, the benign habit of writing a journal. If you have a dream, write down your dream, of course. That's right. Again, when I remember dreams, even I don't remember dreams every morning, but that's where I begin when I can. And that's a very simple, effective practice.
Absolutely. It's so important to have those simple tools. And I think sometimes we're looking for the big solution. Like, I just want that one solution that'll fix everything. And it's really what's going to create the most transformation and change is little baby steps that we can integrate into our lives, so that whether we're in a really challenging time or whether we're in peaceful time, that we're still doing our practices, because they're what help carry us through. So I so hope that people are taking this time to do more things like journaling and journey work and drawing, and to use these resources that are available.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we want to keep it simple. I agree with Einstein when he says, if I can't say it simply, I don't understand it well enough. I like the simplicity of your book. It's a good simplicity. I like to speak as simply as I can. I use some funny words because, you know, I'm an eccentric Professor Monquet, and I read funny books and I have some funny concepts, but I'll still try and keep it as simple as I possibly can. I like clear, coherent instructions for practice. I like practices that people are inclined to do every day because it's fun and it's energizing and it gets you through. I'm greatly in favor, as I think you are, of encouraging each other to do what we love for its own sake. Yes, okay, we're having hard times, but we still, wherever possible, want to do what we love because we love doing it. And that delights the larger self, and it brings it closer. It delights our creative spirits, who we need to keep entertained. So let's do what we love and hope that the world will support it.
That is one of the most important things right now, is to not go into the fear, the doubt, the confusion, but to stay with, to hold those things, but so agree. Do more of what you love. And that might be going for walks. It may be knitting. It may be, you know, anything. And so sometimes at these times, we're asked to be creative, to find new ways to express or new things that we love. Because maybe the ones that are the most familiar of, like, I'm going to go out and see a movie, or I'm going to go out and hike, you know, along the river that you can't do, then how do you do that internally, or how do you bring it into your being?
Well, going to see a movie is a little bit hard right now, but I like to say to people, in addition to all the streaming TV and so on, we all have an inner cinema, a night cinema.
Yes.
Accessible in dreams and states of attentive relaxation, like hypnagogic zone, which I call horizontal meditation to infuriate my serious meditating friends. In horizontal meditation, in sleep and awake, you have access to extraordinary things, including transpersonal guides, and you have access to a night movie theater where movies are screened just for you, and where, if you stay with it, you can step through the screen, become scriptwriter, director, star of your own production. I mean, that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Once you understand what that means, you get to love it. So you're not necessarily regretting quite so much not being able to go to the theater down the road if you recognize that that's available. And one of the blessings in our situation is that people, as I say, who are not making much time for inner play, let's stop calling it inner work and call it inner play, and especially we're not putting anything into remembering or sharing their dreams and staying with their dreams, are doing more of that. Sometimes when they're new to it, they'll just start shouting, I had a weird dream, what's going on? Or sometimes they'll recognize it reflects some fear or anxiety about the world, but then if they stay with it and go deeper, things are happening. One of the things going on in many dreams, and I see hundreds a day because I have all these students in my online courses and all this dream community around the world, lots of people are dreaming of the dead now in a positive way, dreaming of the departed in a loving way that suggests that life goes on and that healing and love are still available. Lots of people are dreaming of ancestral figures who are coming in the role of guide and even an angelic role. All right, we've got to take one more break. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our guest is Heather Ash Amara. She has a website. If you type out her name and add .com, I think you'll be right there. And her new book is The Warrior Heart Practice. Back after the break.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. Earth Channel channel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hello, you're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Go to my website, mossdreams.com. You'll see we're announcing my online courses there. You'll see that we've actually scrubbed most of my physical schedule involving travel for months to come. I don't know whether any of that will be possible for the rest of the year. We'll have to see, but we have virtual reality, and of course, in addition to the internet, we have the interworld of dreams. We're still talking with our wonderful guest, Heather Ash Amara. Her new book is The Warrior Heart Practice. She took us on a wonderful tour through four chambers, or rooms, of the self or soul, in the interest of getting us beyond the little stories, the tired, worn-out stories, sometimes strapped onto us by other people, and into what I would call the big story. In my native Australia, the first people, the Aborigines, say the big stories are hunting the right people to tell them. I would say, by extension, the big stories are hunting the right people to live them. Heather Ash talks about big soul versus little soul. That's why I'm looking at it. I'm always alert for the big story that might be looking for us and for our need to put ourselves in a place where we can be more easily found, because, you know, we can always find the big story in these terms, because it's looking for us. It's stalking us. Yes, we can try to stalk ourselves, but if we're not doing that, I'm sure Heather Ash would agree, from the perspective of a larger self, it doesn't amount to much. You told some very self-revealing stories about the experience in your own life of trying to stalk yourself and then finding out it was the wrong part of you was doing the stalking, right? We want to align ourselves with a somewhat larger self. And also, I must say, Heather Ash, I don't want to go anywhere without a sense of humor. I don't want to approach any of this without a sense of some sense of divine comedy. And that comes to me, or returns to me, most richly when I can put myself in the perspective of a slightly greater self, who can look on my life and my ups and downs and my successes and my failures with some objectivity and a sense of humor. That is very balancing and very stabilizing for me.
It is critical to have humor, for sure. When I first started working with Don Miguel, I was so serious. And I remember one day he took us up to, like, the most sacred place on the land where we were doing the work, and told his stepson to start doing a Cheech and Chong impression. So we're in this medicine wheel, and Miguel's hitting the staff against a rock right next to me. And Trey is sharing Cheech and Chong, and I was just like, what is happening? This is sacred space. How dare they? I knew it was a lesson, and I waited and waited, and finally it broke, and I was like, okay, I get it. Stop taking everything so seriously. It's all sacred. Humor is sacred as well. So important.
When I changed my life completely in midlife and gave up being a best-selling thriller writer and riding around in fancy limousines and so on, and eventually embarked on the path of the dream teacher, for which there is no career track. I mean, shamanic practitioner was getting to be known, but dream teacher, not in our culture. I was writing the first of my books in this line, which was published as Conscious Dreaming. And when I was working on Conscious Dreaming, I asked for a dream show me the best way of approaching this book. So I'm in the dream, and it's not exactly a lucid dream, but I have some recollection in the dream that I've asked for this dream, and I think it becomes lucid, but never controlled. It's a spontaneous dream. I'm in something like a three-ring circus under a huge tent, and there is an absurd character in a loud check suit, smoking a big cigar, silly mustache, silly hat, and he's doing absurd acrobatics, bouncing up to the top of the tent, and then he jumps into the bleachers, and he grabs a blonde, and he's smooching with her and puffing his cigar, and I'm thinking, I asked for guidance. This is my guide. I sort of understand. This is my, and I know his name is Marty, said the New York way, Marty. And Marty looks at me while smooching the blonde and says, leering around the edge of his stogie, it's about entertainment, kid. It's about entertainment. And I woke up laughing. And I thought, this is exactly the spiritual guide I need at that moment. It's about entertainment, not in the trivial sense. In the sense that if you arouse people's sense of fun and sense of play and bring some element of comedy in, you're going to reach them much faster and eventually much deeper. And you're going to maybe eventually bring through that sense of divine comedy, which is what we want in life. So I asked for guidance. I realized I had encountered something like a spiritual guide here in Marty with a big cigar and the absurd acrobatics. From time to time, I try to check in with my inner Marty because I don't want him to be lost to me. I think he is part of my inner team of life advisors, life coaches that I don't want to be out of touch with.
Yes, and when we go through challenging times, it's really easy to think, well, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for humor. This is too serious. And yet those guides and that inner lightness is critical for us to get through. It's not just, when things are better, then I can go towards humor. It's like,
I think in our current circumstances, people are remembering a few things. First of all, you do have time. Yeah, okay, you might be worried about money and trying to scrabble away at paying your bills, but you probably actually have more time because you're at home much more of the time than you ordinarily had for inner stuff. And secondly, you're going to learn something that our ancient ancestors understood. This dreaming stuff, it's about survival, it's about soul, it's about getting in touch with your purpose. It's also about finding ways to get through the tough times. This will get you through. I mean, I'm a historian of many things, including a historian of dreaming and how the dream shamans operated back in the days of the cave paintings and so on. And I can say, and you know this to be true too, that our ancestors spent a lot of time dreaming in the fuller sense of the word because they understood not only can you inhabit a world and to some extent create your reality within the dreaming, but in dreaming, you get guidance that will get you through. You can see where the saber-toothed tiger is. You know, you can scout out the territory around you. You have skills to read the land across space and time in dreaming that are not otherwise available. So in tough times, this becomes more, not less important than it ever was. It's not some bunch of New Age soap bubbles to be shared in during a discretionary weekend. It's part of the warp and the woof of survival and existence. We've been talking to Heather Ash Amara. You can find her website. You can find her new book, The Warrior Heart Practice. You know how good that is from the guided tour she gave us. We'll be back after the break really to say thank you and dream on.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
You've been listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest today was Heather Ash Amara. Her new book is The Warrior Heart Practice. Go look for it. You can go look for her at her website. Thank you so much for taking us on an imaginal tour of your four chambers. Heather Ash, we'll know what to do when told to go to our rooms from now on.
Thank you so much, Robert. It's wonderful to share with you and sending blessings to everybody.
Thank you. Bright blessings to everybody and Heather Ash and all our friends who listen to this show. May your best dreams come true and may you remember them.